Translation. Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth, but then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency, Yogamaya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. Please repeat. Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. But then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency, Yogamaya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although Mother Yashoda understood the whole philosophy of life, at the next moment she was overwhelmed by affection for her son by the influence of Yogamaya. Unless she took care of her son, Krishna, she thought, how could he be protected? He could not think otherwise. And thus she forgot all her philosophical speculations. This forgetfulness is described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as being inspired by the influence of Yogamaya. Mohana sadharmyam maya. Materialistic persons are captivated by Mahamaya, whereas devotees, by the arrangement of the spiritual energy, are captivated by Yogamaya. That's it. Om jnanatimirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurudmiritam jena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Well, it's interesting that you're going along in the 10th canto. This is a little historical perspective on the translation of the 10th canto. Srila Prabhupada began the 10th canto of Nityananda Trayodasi in February of 1977, which is now 40 years ago. So he finished the 9th canto, immediately started on the 10th. And then, as you can, how far does this book go? This book goes up to 13. And this is as far as Srila Prabhupada went, as far as this book finishes. The recordings are not made of Srila Prabhupada's translation for some reason. I mean the public recordings. Obviously, the recordings are there. That's where we get the books from. But the conclusion, some of the concluding recordings are both on audio and also on video. And Srila Prabhupada was already doing that, laying on his deathbed in September, October. And then he concluded. He went as far as the 13th chapter, which is part of Brahmavir Mohana Lila. And that's when Srila Prabhupada departed from this world. So this year, we're going to be observing the 40th anniversary of that departure. Last time I was here, and I was talking about the book which I wrote in regards to the subsequent pastime, which we call Damodar Leela. I mentioned about the chronology and the significance of particularly this pastime. And this verse and the verses which actually follow on from here. In terms of what the actual content and purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is about. So, of course, you read that Krishna reveals the universal form to his mother, which is interesting that he's doing it for the second time. He's already did it once while she was breastfeeding him. And now, if devotees who've been to Gokula, someone been to Gokula Mahavan, a lot of devotees. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokul Nanda Ki Jai. Yes, when you go to Gokula Mahavana, generally everyone goes to what's called the birthplace of Lord Krishna. Of course, called by us is the birthplace of Lord Krishna, and the residence of Nanda Maharaj. Unfortunately, the Pandas over there are not so enlightened, and they talk about Krishna's birthplace in Mathura. Anyway, but that's another topic. And not far from there is that whole area is also called Ramanreti. Just like Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, that is also, that whole area is Ramanreti because it's the sands on the bank of the Jamuna. Jamuna used to flow closer there than it does now. And this whole area is also a Ramanreti. And this is also where there is one pastime place. There are many pastime places where Krishna ate clay. So it's called Brahmandagat. And you can go over there. You can eat the same clay that Krishna ate. They sell it. In case you can't scoop it up yourself, then you can buy it. And this is what took place. This is now in Krishna's third year. And so Krishna is moving about and he's active. He's going beyond the constraints of just living in Nanda Maharaj's courtyard. And Krishna, Balaram, his little cowherd boyfriends, they're all out there. And although he's 3 years old, he looks like a five-year-old. And he moves like a five-year-old. And children sometimes do that. You know, they make clay cakes and other things like that, and they make pretend. So Krishna also make pretend, but he went and ate it. How far he went to eat it, whether he actually swallowed it or not, is not particularly very clear. But he did. He did put it in his mouth. And Balaram tattled on Krishna. And Mother Yashoda then, in order to get to the bottom of things, wanted to see, all right, then you open your mouth and you see. And so Krishna opened his mouth, and again, she saw, you could say, the universal form. It wasn't in a form, shape, but more or less she saw the universe. And she saw the universe within Krishna's mouth. And the significance of that here is that she came, as you read in the previous verses, she came to a certain philosophical understanding. If the universe is in his mouth, then he must be the origin of the universe. That means he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So my thinking him as my son, well, this is just some kind of material illusion, and I should just give this up. So the previous verse, she's saying like this, it is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I'm wrong in thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, that Krishna is my son, and that because I'm the queen of Nanda Maharaj, all the wealth of cows and calves are my possessions, and all the cowherd men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I'm also eternally subordinate to Supreme Lord. He is my ultimate shelter. So this is really the conclusion that people come to when they practice devotional service. In other words, they come to the liberated state. You become liberated. You realize that all material connections that we have here are really illusion, and that engaging in devotional service exclusively to Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. And that's okay if you happen to be progressing up the ladder in devotional service. But it wasn't really okay for Mother Yashoda, because she's already an eternally liberated soul. So for her, the idea of becoming liberated, and what to speak of abandoning her eternal husband and thinking of Krishna as her son, which is her eternal relationship with him, is not a step up. It's a step back. But it's Krishna's pastime. And it's Krishna's pastime, particularly now in this verse, to actually introduce, because Parikshit Maharaj is going to pick up on this later on in the following verses. I guess that's more or less in the commentaries. You can see it's Shukadev Goswami speaking. There's Yogamaya Pitaro Shishukavacha. Yeah. Well, he'll directly quote Shukadev Goswami, continues to talk about their past, their history. Srila Prabhupada explains that when Mother Yashoda was thinking like this, then Krishna's yoga maya, and Krishna's yoga maya acts under his direction. So, mama maya. So Krishna has two types of maya. He has his maha maya and his yoga maya. Actually, it's just one maya. It's just one energy, but it acts differently. In one way, it acts to materially bewilder, and another way, it acts to spiritually bewilder or to facilitate Krishna's pastimes. So it's like electricity. You heat with it, you cool with it. It's the same energy. It's just a question of how it's being used. So here, what has happened is you can say that someone has become self-realized. Now all of a sudden, they become overwhelmed by affection. So here the word sneha is there. Sneha is a general term, and it's also a very specific term. So it says, Gopikayam Saishwara Putra Snehamayam Vibhu. There are eight different types of prema. We talk about prema, or love of Godhead. A love of Godhead is both a general term, and then prema, sneha, man, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav, and pranay earlier. So sneha is a more intimate form of love than just a general prema. And, of course, Mother Yashoda's, and according to the type of relationship that you have with Krishna, the nature of that love becomes more and more rich. The type of love that a mother has for her offspring is different than the type of love that that same mother has for her husband. And the latter is actually a more enriched form of love than the former, at least in the spiritual realm. So that's why there are different names for different types of love. And then even on the on that type of conjugal relationship, which is an interesting word, because we use the word conjugal to mean parakia, or in French the term is, what's the French term? paramour. But actually, if you look it up in the dictionary, at least the way the dictionary uses it now, it actually means marriage. So it doesn't necessarily convey that meaning to the uninformed reader. But this type of conjugal relationship also has different stages of development, and that's all described in the Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Devotion describes these things in great detail. So, back to the point. Yes. So, what type of sneha, what type of love is it that then surpasses liberation? In fact, actually makes you forget your liberated status. And it's not Mahamaya, because it's already stated here that this is Vaishnavim. So it means that it's a Yogamaya. And this becomes the discussion point that leads into actually the rest of the 10th canto leading up to the 40th something chapter, Uddhava's visit to Vrindavan. Then Krishna's going on to Mathura and Dwarka. It's similar but somewhat different story. So it's a, because Bhagavatam begins, Paramahansam Nirmat Saranam Satam Vedam Vatsama Atstavatstu Shivanam Tapan Trayon Mulanam. So this is actually the Paramahansa Samhita. This is the transcendental knowledge and the teachings that meant for Paramahansas. Paramahansas means that they're already beyond liberation. So, well, what is that that's beyond liberation? Because generally, from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakangshati. Krishna also talks about liberation, Brahma Bhuta, the spiritual transform. But what's beyond that? What is actually, and then here it becomes clearly stated, what is that sneha? What is that type of love? What is that type of conduct that actually goes beyond liberation? And you'll see the 45th verse, which is a very important verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of the Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature. Yet Mother Yashoda considered the Supreme Person her ordinary child. So first you're meant to understand that Krishna is not ordinary, that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can you not sit like that? Okay. And then, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam we're meant to receive like this. So then you realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then what goes on or what takes place, what is that type of bhakti or spiritual life where you again forget that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because this is what's happening in this verse. All of a sudden now, she's forgetting. By the influence of Yoga Maya, she's forgetting that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is actually the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is what makes it the Samhita for the Paramahansas, is that it introduces another type or a type of devotional service that's really very hidden from the Vedas and from the Vedic literature. It introduces a type of prema, which is not necessarily unknown. The concept of prema is there, because ultimately real liberation or liberation means that not liberation by merging into Krishna's body, but liberation by attaining affection or love for the Supreme Lord. But love for the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Lord. This is a different thing. Now all of a sudden this is love that makes you forget that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though you have such an extraordinary experience. It's like Arjuna seeing the universal form. It's a very overwhelming experience. And here, Mother Yashoda also realizing that he is the shelter of the universe or the universes and everything else. So here, And of course, it requires study. This is why Srila Prabhupada said that his books should be studied from all angles of vision. One has to study carefully, and unfortunately here Srila Prabhupada's purports are becoming, because Prabhupada's not well, they're becoming relatively short. And if you listen to what Prabhupada's saying, and if you follow Prabhupada's purports and the commentaries, Prabhupada now more or less just exclusively refers to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Whereas Prabhupada would refer to Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Sridhar Swami, mainly these were the acharyas, and Vishwanath. Now Prabhupada just asks them, just read Chakravarti Thakur's purport, and he just comments on what the acharya says. He doesn't even go to the others. Prabhupada's horizontal. He's laying down. He's just listening to the commentaries as they're read out to him in Sanskrit. So that this concept of sneha or prema over tattva is what is the real substance of Srimad Bhagavatam and unique feature of Srimad Bhagavatam that's described both philosophically throughout the pages of the Bhagavatam, and it's illustrated through the conduct and the prayers of the Brijvasis, who become actually the repositories of this type of love. As we'll see later on, this chapter ends in the following way. It says, thereafter, Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharatas, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead became the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they maintained continuous, unswerving, devotional love in parental affection. And in their association, all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopas and gopis, developed the culture of Krishna bhakti. So this wasn't just something that became exclusive to Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. This type of, Prabhupada calls it Krishna bhakti, and he'll refer to it as being kevala bhakti, or pure devotion. Pure in the sense that it's not mixed with this concept of Aishwarya, of Krishna's greatness. It becomes actually free from that. Of course, that's not a material contamination. Therefore, when we say pure, it doesn't mean that that's impure. But it's a different type of bhakti. And it's a different type of bhakti that leads to a different type of destination. So there's these two concepts that you know of, sadhana and sadhya. Sadhana means practice, and sadhya means goal. So according to the type of sadhana that you practice, that's the type of goal that you get. And there's a, Sanatana Goswami has a verse, which I just forget right now, that points out that sadhana, of course, but it's just like you want to become a dentist, you don't go to engineering school. If that's your goal, then you go to dentistry. Similarly, if you want to become a mathematician, then you don't go to art school. Then you go to, you study mathematics. So Bhagavatam also points out, and as we come along from the first nine cantos, that there are different types of devotees who are practicing different types of devotional service, and they're attaining different types of goals. And all of these are sort of being briefly mentioned, but then you notice here half the Bhagavatam is about this Krishna bhakti. Not entirely half, because all of the 10th canto is not about particularly the type of devotional service that Mother Yashoda has. More or less half of it is, and the other, when Krishna goes to Mathura and then Dwarka, it again is a different type of goal and a different type of devotional service. You could say that it peaks up here in Vrindavan, this type of bhakti goes up to Vrindavan, and then in terms of its intensity, it comes down, and it, there's similar love for Krishna, but it's diluted by knowledge of Krishna's divinity. In fact, Shukadev Goswami even mentions that not only is it diluted by Krishna's divinity, but in Dwarka, many of the residents of the Dwarka have even a misunderstanding of Krishna's divinity. In other words, they think that he's Paramatma, as opposed to being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this, but still, when you're talking about 40 chapters out of 180 chapters, and that's, say, a quarter of the Bhagavatam, that means that this is the emphasis. This book is emphasizing something. This is the sum and substance of this text. All the other things are both building up to and then trailing off to emphasize what is actually devotional service that is practiced by Paramahamsas, that is understood by Paramahamsas. And now we're not talking about Paramahamsa yogis and so on, but we're talking about Paramahamsas like Mother Yashoda and their associates. And how do you attain that type of devotion? So the first part of that question, how do you attain that type of devotion, is answered, how did she attain that devotion? And as Shukadeva Goswami then points out that, well, she didn't attain it. She's always there. It's her eternal position. But then a reference is being made to some of the other residents of Vrindavan. It says that by their association, they also attain that same type of Krishna bhakti. Now, not all the residents of Vrindavan attain that Krishna bhakti by their association, because others are also eternal associates. It's not just Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. So you have many other associates who came from the spiritual world in order to reveal, in order to show what is that. Oh yes, we're talking about sadhan sadhya. What is that particular goal? So this 25% of the Bhagavatam is there to show, well, this is a perfection, because that's what scripture is all about. The scriptures always show what is the goal and how do you get there. And how do you get to that type of goal? This is what is the sadhan to get there? This sadhan is a very unique type of sadhan. It's basically based upon hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna's names and glories, and associating with people like Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. Primarily, it's based upon this type of sadhu sangha nama kirtan bhagavata shravana matura vasa srimurtiya shradhaya sevana. Like this srimurtiya seva. Prabhupada describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I mean, Rupa Goswami says, he says, if you chant Krishna's name, if you worship the deity of Radha and Krishna in the temple, while chanting their names and remembering Krishna's pastimes, then ultimately you develop a similar type of love as Mother Yashoda or the residents of Vrindavan. That becomes the natural awakening of devotional service. And since I use that term awakening, it reminded me. And that type of devotional service, here it's called Krishna Bhakti, it's called spontaneous devotional service. It's something that is not impelled. It's spontaneous because it's not impelled by Krishna's divinity. It's just impelled by Krishna's personality. So it's not by what Krishna is, but actually who he is, his person, his persona. Krishna's beauty and his sweetness and his pastimes and his talking, and it's like so many people here have some type of positions. Some other people who are not related to them have a relationship with them on the basis of the position, and then other people, family members, may not even know what their profession is, but still they have a intimate relationship. Why? It's based on who they are, not on what they are, based on who their person is. So Krishna is also both the Supreme Personality. Well, he's both the Supreme Person, and he's also a personality. and you can have a relationship with him for both, for either reason or for a combination of those reasons. As we mentioned, the residents of Dwarka, they have him for a combination of reasons. And generally, other people have him for this reason. The residents of Vaikuntha, they love Krishna because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But and here the contrast is being given, that it's not a love that compares to this. This type of love is different. Therefore, it goes one step higher, and it's called sneha. Putra sneha mayim vibhu. That this type of love actually makes you already forget Krishna's divinity, and which puts you into a different type of relationship. It puts you into a more personal relationship. It puts you into a closer relationship with Krishna. And that's what is sort of a turning point. So the first eight chapters of the Bhagavatam here, of the 10th canto, are introductory and leading up to this. You see Krishna's power in terms of his killing Trinavarta and killing Putana and Shakatasura, and then this becomes the next. In other words, Krishna's divinity is clearly established, but the purpose is not that. That's already there in the other nine chapters. We already started off nine cantos. I mean, in the first canto, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. So the fact that Krishna is the source of all those other incarnations and Varaha and Ramachandra and Lord Nrisimhadeva, that's already a given. But now here becomes a transition into the type of sadhan that's being described. And basically that sadhan is about hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and particularly hearing about Krishna's pastimes as are described in these chapters. And as Pope Prabhupada describes, as I mentioned, quoted earlier, Prabhupada said, you worship the deity of the Lord, you chant Hare Krishna in tandem with hearing about Krishna, and that will awaken this type of devotional service. You don't have to go off to the Himalayas, you don't have to perform any extraordinary austerity. This is that type of sadhan. And then you get that type of sadhya. If you don't want that type of perfection, then you perform another type of sadhan. But, anyway, I can't remember the verse. Once again, but in order to forget that other devotional attitude, then Yogamaya once again expanded her influence on Mother Yashoda, and she just thought, "Oh, this was a nice idea. This is a sort of an event," but she relegated it to the back of her mind, and once again she became absorbed in this intense maternal affection for her son. Anyway, there's a lot that needs to be said about this. I'll just stop here in case devotees have questions. And a lot that needs to be said so that devotees themselves are also very clear about why it is that we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, what the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is, and the importance of reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in terms of nurturing our Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Anyone have any questions?